show your rage when you drown your rage. But I see past those laughter lines. So baby, let's split tonight. I got a tank full of gas to light. Yeah, we could drive.
Welcome back, everyone, to the 57th episode of the Hell Yeah Homeland podcast. I'm Sarah, and this week I have Ashley and Gail, and we're going to talk about the 10th episode of season 7 titled Clarity. Which it's a very apt name for the episode because it's sort of centered around the sort of newfound clarity that Carrie discovers related to, you know, her daughter, her relationship with her sister, her job and her work and kind of the rest of her life. But before we dive into all of those huge themes and you know, the major developments of the episode, what did you guys think overall of the episode?
I was kind of bored by it for a lot of it. I just kept waiting for them to get on with it, with the story.
To get on with the story of, like, the custody battle? Like, yeah, that part of it?
I mean, I've been dreading the episode for, what, 6 weeks now?
Yeah.
So, I was really tired. I woke up 30 seconds after the episode started, and I was just so ready to go to sleep. I was just closing my eyes. I mean, like, I'm not interested in any of this stuff. So it wasn't my favorite episode.
You felt like that the whole way through?
For most of it, yeah.
Even at the end?
Well, most of it.
Okay.
I mean, I was more engaged with the Carrie of it all than I was with the Keen or anything. But I mean, that's okay. Par for the course, right?
Sure. What'd you think, Gail?
You know, my first reaction right after seeing it was that it was definitely not one of my favorite episodes this season. But I ended up rewatching it, and then I think what I found really surprised me is I just felt so at peace with the Maggie, Carrie, Franny storyline. It just gave me so much closure as a viewer, I think, besides, you know, just the characters themselves finding it. And I think after the last 5 minutes of last week where I broke out in hives and had a full panic attack, I needed an episode like this, even though I thought some of it was a little snooze-worthy. I just think the Keen storyline is definitely more of a setup here where you're seeing the payoff on Carrie's of kind of these decisions, you know, that are being made. One is, you know, starting a new chapter and moving forward in her life. And the other is almost, it's going to go sideways and you can see it. So it was hard to watch that and comparison, but I have such a peace after the episode that I'm going to enjoy it for another 24 hours.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt too. Like, I think that this episode was kind of like the calm before the storm. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, you know, the last three seasons, really, I'd say season 4, season 5, season 6, all of the sort of like major buildup happened in the 10th and 11th episodes. And then there was maybe something like at the beginning of the 12th. And then, you know, kind of this long epilogue. And so I think they're doing something really different. It's much more the model of season 3, where the 10th episode is really like the setup episode. And then the last two episodes are like broad and kind of their own sort of miniseries, I guess. So this episode to me, it was definitely quieter, but I liked that tone. I think that you're right. Like after the complete craziness of the end of last week's episode, you know, to then switch to this like Carrie getting ECT and kind of the sort of matter of fact way that that was presented, and you know, she, like, her demeanor this episode was obviously she was much more reserved, very quiet, like she was subdued, and she did seem to have clear eyes about everything. And I loved the Carrie parts, and I like you, Gail, I felt a lot of peace and closure at the end of the episode. Like I felt kind of like good about what happened, even though it was, it broke my heart, like, to kind of see it unfold the way it did. But I think I was, you know, had some small comfort knowing that, you know, she made the right choice for everyone involved. As for the Keen parts of it, I understand what you guys are saying, but I have, like, shifted, I think, in how I view the character. I just find her, like, so deliciously disastrous. Like, just like her presidency is a fucking mess, and I actually think it's pretty entertaining to watch her self-destruct this way. So I actually enjoyed those, and I really liked watching Marlon. Like I really liked watching Beau Bridges in those scenes. So I really enjoyed the episode a lot more than I thought I would, and I was dreading it, I think, the same way as Ashley. But it was pretty tense the entire time.
Yeah, I think I've just been so used to, like, these episodes going 100 miles an hour that when we got to this one that was really quiet and subdued, and it was really closing a chapter of the show, I was just like, this is it. This is what I have been waiting for and dreading. And
oh, like, you thought it was going to be so, so much worse, but it, like, actually wasn't.
Yes.
Well, that's a good segue.
And I feel like, on that note, like, I was kind of disappointed that it wasn't as bad as I expected it to be.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? Oh, God. So you, like, braced for the worst, and then it wasn't as bad. It was actually kind of, you know, like, there was some degree of perhaps acceptance about it, and you were upset that it wasn't your worst. That's really weird, Ashley.
I don't watch Homeland for these quiet, subdued episodes. I watch it because it's fucking bananas.
That's, like, borderline masochistic. Like, that you're like, it wasn't bad enough. Like, all right. Well, that's a good segue, though, into talking about kind of the, I think, you know, we all agree, the most important sort of story this episode, and one that has been kind of ongoing, I'd say, since the very beginning of the series, which is, you know, Carrie and her relationship with her sister, and kind of their sort of push-pull kind of that relationship, which we've really only kind of ever observed from Carrie's perspective, and then being able to see it this week from Maggie's, culminating in what I thought was going to be a, you know, disastrous sort of showdown in a courtroom, but ended up, you know, not really being that, and Carrie kind of relents and decides to, I suppose, like, what I feel like is that she doesn't lose the custody of Franny, she just gives it up, which is a distinction for me that might be a distinction without a difference, but it feels different to me because it feels like kind of it was a little bit on her terms. And, you know, that scene in the courtroom where Maggie is explaining, like, you know, from the time that you were born, you know, you've always been fearless, and you've always had a mind of your own, and you're extraordinary, and I'm not those things, but, you know, the fact that I don't need to risk my life for my job also means that I can provide your child with the things that you just can't. And Carrie for a second says, well, like, I see so clearly now that I have to give it up, and like, that's what I'm prepared to do. And then Maggie sort of strikes back and she says, 6 weeks from now, you know, the ECT will have worn off and Saul will come knocking and the whole crazy orchestra will begin to play again, which is such a great line. But it was after that moment that I think Carrie kind of really had this tremendously important realization that Maggie was right and that there's always going to be something pulling her back and that it's not in the best interests of her child to continue to subject her to that, even though she loves her very much and acknowledges the mistakes that she's made. Like, I think that the show really made a case this episode for, it's not like, it doesn't have anything to do, I think, with her bipolar disorder. I don't really think it has as much to do with, you know, the fact that she's in the CIA and, you know, women can have a career and be mothers at the same time. Clearly, Maggie does it extremely well. I kind of feel like they made the case, and a lot of that was through Maggie's speech, you know, as she talked about who Carrie is as a person from, like, the time that she was born, you know, from the time that she came into this world, that it's Carrie and that there's something unique and singular about her that has nothing to do with her mental illness and doesn't have anything to do with the fact that she, you know, used to work at the CIA and, you know, kind of tangentially works there now. But it's really, I felt like they were making the case that this had nothing to do with those things and it's just who she is as a person, which I appreciated because it feels not as ugh and like gross as if they had sort of framed it another way. But I've been talking for a long time, so like, what did you guys think about, I guess, how they framed, you know, that entire story and the decision for Carrie to sort of relinquish custody of Franny?
Well, I thought that one of people's biggest complaints about Maggie this season has been how shrewish she's been and how she just is beating the same drum over and over and nothing's changing. And I think in this episode, it was a different, I think we were all expecting, at least I was expecting Maggie to be very, like,
I was expecting it to be really ugly. And it wasn't ugly.
I was
ugly.
Expecting it to be really contentious.
Yeah.
I was expecting Maggie to be doing basically what Maggie has been doing all season, not unjustifiably. But, and I know it's part of because of the fact that Carrie had just finished a round of ECT, like, she had gotten through her meds, she was, like, in a spot where she was receptive to it. Mm-hmm. So Maggie didn't need to push the way that she did and didn't need to be mean to Carrie.
Well, there's also a difference between sort of reprimanding her in the kitchen of your own house and doing so, like, on the record in a courtroom in front of a judge and a bunch of people who are strangers.
Well, I just think that if Carrie had been in a different position, if she'd been the Carrie she was 2 weeks ago, then Maggie would not have been able to take that measured route. She would have had to continue doing what she's been doing, continue yelling at Carrie and telling her that this is not sustainable.
Yeah, well, so I agree with you. I think that there is some aspect of that, but what we saw sort of, you know, the last time we saw Maggie before this episode, she was just threatening to go to a lawyer. And so I think it was kind of this thing where she was like grasping at straws and really didn't know what to do. And then she kind of had to pull the lever. And I think once you pull the lever, you can't really unpull it. And there's some degree of like, you can't really turn back from that. And so I feel a little bit like Maggie's demeanor would change. It's not like she was having to sort of, I don't know what the right word is, but like she didn't need to reprimand Carrie anymore because she, like, there wasn't really like an ultimatum anymore. It's like she went to the lawyer. She's now attempting to get Franny. Like, the thing is done. She doesn't really need to be shrewish anymore, if that makes sense. No.
Yeah, but my thought was just that it was as much about Carrie's ability to receive the information as it was.
I think that's a part of it. I guess I think that there are other aspects of it too. But beyond sort of the difference we see in Maggie this episode, you know, it definitely is not as contentious as I thought. I thought it was going to be really ugly. I thought it was going to be much more like the courtroom scene that we saw last season, which was fucking the worst. This felt like, I don't know, like it was excruciating to watch, but I also felt like Carrie, like her facial expressions the entire time were very like, I don't know, like she seemed to really come to this like profound realization about herself. And I think, you know, like I said before, that put me at some sense of ease that she kind of realized the inevitable and, you know, instead of drawing this out any longer, just decided to put an end to it right away and used her leverage, you know, as a way to get every other weekend visitations. But
well, just look at how relieved Maggie was when Carrie,
and shocked too. She was so surprised.
Afraid. Like when Carrie called her and was like, "Can we talk for a second?" She was afraid. Like the very first thing she said was like, "Don't get me wrong. I really wanted to come see you in the hospital, but I was told it was not a good idea."
Then Carrie was like, "It's okay. Like I don't really care that much." She's like, "It's fine." Exactly. But that's really interesting. It's like Maggie's been conditioned to sort of, you know, deal with and to talk to Carrie in a very specific way, which is combative, right? And here we see one of the sisters kind of just let her guard down. And, you know, she was being reasonable and she was being calm and she was clear-eyed about everything. And I think Maggie was like, oh, so like that's what's actually happening right now. It was interesting to watch. It was really interesting to see them like play that way. I thought Claire and Amy Hargraves like were incredible. Like they made the episode for me.
I feel like with Maggie's speech from, you know, directed at Carrie, her conceding that she's always been jealous and hated Carrie for the fact that she was the brave one and she was the one kind of without fear and responsibility to some degree. I think Maggie conceding that in that moment, and recognizing Carrie as the hero, as someone who could disrupt, you know, bombs in Berlin and who advises the president, and that, you know, while Maggie is safe, you know, it's because of the freedom that Carrie's been providing is, I think, the subtext in that. So I think that when Maggie gives Carrie like permission to be herself, mm-hmm. While being willing to take on Franny, which Maggie was not really ever willing to do, even at the beginning, she was always like, "You can do this, Carrie. You can do this." And Frank is the one who says, "Well, I'll take her," you know, talking about Franny. It wasn't Maggie at first. It was pushed on Maggie. So in this speech, you know, when she's giving permission for Carrie to do her, you know, to go do your thing and let me do what I can do, and like the recognition of like, here's what we're both good at, let's make this work, is what is able to give Carrie the ability to not be combative, to also make that concession of, all right, let's, you know, let's work out this agreement where I get her every other weekend and mm-hmm. I can be in her life. And both of these sisters make these concessions in this courtroom. And it's, to me, it's like so beautiful and puts like such a lovely closure to just their dynamics and their family life and everything we've seen over all these seasons. So I think Ashley's point, I think Carrie is the most receptive in this moment because of where she's at in her treatment and her medication and stuff. It's everything has finally aligned for them both to see each other completely clearly. And Carrie is finally allowed now to have roots and wings, which I think I tweeted this last night, but it's like, you know, there's going to be a run on leather jackets because the bitch is coming now. Like she's going to be out there hunting. And then, you know, every other weekend she's going to be a mom. And I think that's a really solid balance for someone like Carrie who has this higher calling to where she doesn't have to necessarily sacrifice at all, at least not this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think I like the way that you frame it as Maggie sort of giving Carrie the permission to kind of be who she is, because and that's kind of what I was alluding to is kind of sort of the closure and the payoff of like this 7 seasons long relationship between them. I mean, from the very first time that we see Maggie, there's this, I mean, they are kind of like knocking horns a little bit. Like, I thought it was really interesting that Maggie brought up again that Carrie was the favorite, and that, you know, their dad kind of was proudest of her for being like, I think she said that Carrie was like her or daredevil. Yeah. And so, but from the very first scene that we see them in, when Carrie goes out of their house and, you know, she's wanting to get new meds and Maggie's like, you know, you really should see like a real doctor about this. And, you know, she pleads and she explains why she can and all this. And then it's still though, it's like Maggie wasn't accepting of that. And at that point, maybe she shouldn't have been, but after, you know, 7 seasons of this and 35 years worth of this too, like, I think it was really, I agree, it was so beautiful to see them both really see each other for who they are and kind of accept that. And, you know, it's interesting how how Maggie described Carrie as, you know, the brave one and the fearless one and the extraordinary one, and you know how she was really jealous of that, whereas earlier in the episode when Carrie was talking to Anson and, you know, he was asking, you know, is there anything that we could like exploit, and the best that they could come up with is that for several years Maggie kind of helped treat her sister. But it was interesting because at that point she described Maggie as being like super mom. So I like, it's interesting, like they both, they're both sort of envious of qualities in the other that they don't possess. And I think that's really interesting because that's so much how sisters are. Like I can just speak from personal experience. Like I mean, they're very similar in many ways, but they're also extremely different. And as sisters growing up, there's obviously a lot of, you know, rivalries and stuff like that. And I think it's totally natural for them to feel that way and for, you know, one of the other to really be envious of kind of the qualities that, you know, she just didn't get to have. And I thought that was really powerful.
I think also it's interesting that it's taken us 4 seasons to get to the point where we probably should have been at the end of season 3.
Well, that's a good point. And like,
it's not like Maggie didn't know this shit about her.
Right. Well, that's a good point. But, you know, that might actually lead into a good discussion of like, I don't necessarily think this is the end. I do think this is possibly the last time we'll ever see Franny. And that is a thing. Like, Carrie, like, we might not ever see Carrie and her daughter again on this show. But just in terms of like, we are at a good sort of stopping point, I'd say, in, you know, this motherhood storyline. And I don't know if we're, you know, have enough distance yet. You know, the episode just aired last night. It's been like, you know, 16 hours. But like, what do we kind of think about how that has been depicted, you know, over the last four seasons? I don't know if you guys have thoughts about it. I have a few, but I want to hear what you guys have to say first.
Lord, that's weighty.
I know, it's a big question. It's an extremely loaded question, but I think that what Ashley said is interesting. Like, it took them four seasons to kind of get to this point, which is that they were kind of at the end of season three, which is that, like, the qualities that make Carrie, you know, a great station chief also make her not a good enough mother. And Carrie knew that from the very beginning, and everyone around her, Quinn, Frank, Maggie, were trying to convince her otherwise. And
I think that's true. And I think in the context of the show, like, this is not a show about family dynamics and, mm-hmm. you know, this is not Home Improvement or Family Ties or Modern Family, whatever. Like, this is
Home Improvement.
So I know, I was going way back. I was in the way back machine. So
Home Improvement was so good.
Except for Tim Allen now is kind of like,
eh. Tim Allen sucks. But yeah. So anyway, they it's just not that show. So I think they had a Franny problem early on. But I feel like this episode last night has righted a lot of wrongs for me. So my looking back, my snap judgment in the moment answer to that is Carrie would not be Carrie if she had not gone through all of that and had when she stepped away from intelligence and the CIA, she missed it deeply. And that's conveyed in many different scenarios over the last couple of seasons. Most recently, when she's trying to break Dante and she is talking to him about how it feels to be on the outside looking in and how painful that is. So I think for Carrie to truly be where she is now, she knows the pain of denying herself this true calling of hers. And she also knows both sides of being a mom to Franny and being a terrible mom. And I think having been through all of that, this is, and reconciling those two parts of herself last night, I think that's what that journey for her has been all about. There is a real cost of war to the people who are on the front lines, who are, you know, giving us the freedom that we have to live under each day. So I think there is something honest about that, that she did give it a good try and tried to make it work for a while. In terms of storytelling, I think their storytelling suffered because of that. But I think that ultimately last night, I'm excited to see where Carrie goes from here, because, like, this is the Carrie I love and root for, is the one who is extraordinary, does drive the story, and can be all things. But so at for the same me, time I have a new piece.
Yeah. Like, I think the fact that makes this feel okay, like, if you would have told me at the beginning of the season Carrie loses Franny, I would have been like, I mean, it's so deeply sad, but the way that they did it made it less sad, I feel like. And I think that the fact that Carrie is the one who's kind of able to make the decision and that it doesn't feel sort of unjustified, which is, I think, how we all felt last year. And the fact that she knows that it was the right thing to do, and the fact that Franny is going to be fine, and the fact that Carrie is well supported by Maggie and by, you know, her family, like, and the list goes on. Like, this just feels like, yeah, like, maybe this is kind of how it all, like, was supposed to end up. And I think that makes Carrie going back into the CIA feel less of a, like, it doesn't feel as sort of anxiety inducing as it might if it was, you know, like, it did kind of earlier in the season where she wasn't yet in sort of the mindset to really see things clearly for what they were. So, yeah, I would agree with that. Ashley, do you have thoughts, like, overall about, like, Carrie motherhood stuff? Other than it took us 4 seasons to get back to the same point, which I think is really funny.
It is really funny. I mean,
It's so homeland. It's like time is a flat circle.
She went through this entire journey to get exactly where she was in the beginning.
But she learned a lot about herself. She learns
that she is exactly the person that she said she was.
My feelings about, like, the Carrie motherhood stuff are totally mixed in extremes. And I feel like I've talked about this for a really long time, for many years. It's like I've gone back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I was initially so resistant to the idea of Carrie being a mother because it seemed so antithetical to kind of who she was as a person. And I was like, why does everyone always have to be a mother? Like, what the fuck? And, I definitely do think that the writers, you know, gave her a child because of, like, the symbolic meaning in their brains of, like, what it meant for Carrie to have Brody's child. And, like, there is some actual meaning in that. But I don't think that they planned it out at all. I think that we would be feeling probably a lot differently about Carrie motherhood storyline were it not for what happened last season, which, as time goes on, I'm more and more convinced they weren't planning to do originally. But yeah, I've gone back and forth. Like, I was initially so resistant, and then I swung back in the other direction. And I think that Carrie becoming a mother added so many new depths to the character that I didn't know existed. And I think, you know, that's really evident by the scene at the end of this episode where, you know, they're all seated around the kitchen, and, you know, she's kind of explaining to Franny, like, why she has to go, and, like, just scenes like that, which are so, like, the very sort of small details. Like, I was talking to Gail about this last night, but, like, you know, after they hug and Franny asks whether she can go play with Josie, and just the fact that, of course, Franny's gonna ask Carrie that because she's her mother, just, like, really small details like that, just, like, totally, like, I had just, like, a moment about it. And, you know, it totally complicated the story in ways that I think were good, because it added, I think, real stakes to everything, where, you know, after Brody, it's kind of like, what were the stakes? The stakes then became the fact that she had a kid and she had someone who is, you know, waiting for her back at home, which is that line from season 5, which is not something that she'd ever had before. I think that it opened her up too. I think that before Franny, Carrie was someone who did not like the idea of anyone depending on her. And she still is in many ways like that, but not as much as she used to be. So I think it really just revealed new aspects of the character that I never would have sort of that I never would have imagined before. And I think that's undoubtedly a good thing. I think it made the character more multidimensional, but it definitely did have a lot of negative impacts on the story, because I don't think that the show, similarly to Carrie, was really able to sort of reconcile those two parts of herself, mm-hmm. because Franny was so removed from the real plot. Like, Carrie always kind of had, like, they had always kind of explored her personal life, but not this in depth, and not, again, like, where the stakes were so high. Like, it's one thing to show Carrie, you know, going over to Maggie's house, you know, and seeing the kids there and talking to her dad. It's like an entirely different thing when it's her own child who depends on her for everything. And so it did really complicate the story in a lot of I think, ultimately not great ways. And I think it messed up the storytelling a little bit. But ultimately, I feel like, I think where I am now, you know, like I said, we're not even 24 hours removed from the episode. Like, I do feel kind of at peace with what they've done. And and that has so much to do with last night's episode. Like, the thing that I really, really, really loved about it was that there was, like, no shame in kind of her needing to leave. It didn't feel like they were shaming her for making that decision. I felt like they were actually saying, like, yes, you did the right thing. It was a truly selfless thing, and it was the right thing to do for everyone involved, even though it was excruciating and even though it was crushing. And I liked that they kind of allowed her some dignity. It wasn't like she was being, like, locked out of the house or something. Like it seemed a little bit like it wasn't combative. It was like everyone kind of understood that this is the way things should be going, and that, you know, like I said, like, there's some, like, I can't understate, like, the closure I think that provides everyone in the story and also the audience as well.
I mean, Franny needed to go.
They definitely had a Franny problem. They totally had a Franny problem. They had it last year, and they had it this year, too.
Right. And so, I mean, we brought up the fact that, or you brought up earlier, that Franny was the person that she had back at home. And I find that it was really brave for them to have Carrie have a baby, I think. I think that they had really good intentions with it. But the problem with a character having a baby, like, as opposed to all of these other shows where the characters have kids who are, like, able to function for themselves, it was someone who was completely reliant on her. And I don't know, I just, it, as much as I don't think that Maggie should have had to take on the responsibility of Franny, and I know that that is definitely something that's come up, and I know that's something that Maggie was saying to her in season 4, it just feels really anticlimactic to me. It feels like a huge anticlimax.
But sometimes life is like that.
Yeah, I know. I just don't like it.
I much prefer the anti-climax of it than the alternative, which I think is, like, it would have been, like, this long, drawn-out, ugly sort of custody battle, which would have been...
Well, that would have been worse, if only because I can't stand to think of Carrie losing another person in her life. Ooh. Not Franny, but Maggie.
Right, so, like, what... You said you don't like it because it's so anticlimactic, but what would you have rather, like, seen or have had happen?
I don't know. I guess I just really wish that it hadn't...
come to this.
Not even that it hadn't come to this, just that we didn't have to deal with all of this bullshit Franny storytelling for seasons 5 and 6, okay, only to have season 7 turn into exactly what it should have been in season 4.
That's fair. That's a really totally fair point. I think I'm just kind of like, well, this is where we are. I felt like they, you know, made lemonade out of lemons, I guess. Kind of. I think that the season 6 storyline really fucked it up, because season 5, I think, was, like, okay. Like, she put Franny on that plane in episode 3 the second that she, you know, believed that her life was at risk. Like, there was no question and there was no doubt. And we even got to see, you know, after the 2.5 year jump in time, kind of what their life was like together. And so it did feel like there were stakes. Season six was a clusterfuck on every single level. And I truly think that the story really got away from them there. And I just don't believe that they, as they were sort of conceiving of the season in the writer's room and kind of what the Carrie Franny aspects of that would be, it's really hard for me to think that they, like, that it was kind of, sorry, I'll rephrase. If we believe that the writer sort of predetermined end to all of this was that Carrie was going to have to give up Franny to Maggie. And it was kind of this episode. Like, if we think that, you know, maybe that was in their heads from the very beginning, which is like, I don't know, probably it wasn't, but supposing that it was, I think that it's hard to imagine that they would have done what they did in season six. So I think that season six got away from those writers in a variety of really awful ways. And I think that that Carrie Franny CPS drama was like a part of it. And yeah, I don't know. I guess I just feel like they did plant those seeds from the very beginning of Carrie not feeling like she could do this. And this was a little bit of a different wrinkle because, like, at the end of season three, she was, like, very forceful. She was like, I can't do this, and here are the reasons why. I don't want this child. I don't love this child. She's like, I'm done. Like, I'm not going to do this. And this was a little bit different because it like, she kind of – I just feel like she wanted to do it but maybe knew that she couldn't. And there, and that's a little bit – I mean, that's different. You know what I mean? Does that, like, make sense to you guys? Is that a little bit how you saw it? Like at the end of season three, she didn't want to raise that child. At the end of, you know, at this point in the season, you know, during this episode, she wants to, and she wants to make those changes, but she has to. But, like, she comes to the realization that there's this other part of herself that Maggie's right, will always be there. Saul will always be, you know, a phone call away, and she's unable to resist that.
Well, I think that's part of where she gets through to Carrie in her concession speech is what I'm going to call it, is because when she talks, well, when she says, like, you know, the orchestra, Saul will come calling and the orchestra will play, it's because what's ironic is Saul already came calling. Mm-hmm. And Carrie in that moment knows that she feels this pull, and Maggie's right. And, you know, I guess I can't sit here and complain about all the Franny problems that they've had over the seasons that I've complained pretty vocally about and then not concede that last night was done right. It was. I mean, we can't sit here and play this game of, you know, like, is Carrie ever going to do the right thing? Is she ever going to have growth? Is she ever going to be selfless? And then when she finally does those things, we pick it apart. I'm not going to do that. I feel like I really do feel like last night we saw the most growth, the most selfless acts. Like, everything we've wanted to see from her as far as Franny is concerned, we finally saw that last night. Making the difficult choice, and she had that evidence on Maggie. She didn't use it, which I think speaks so much about, you know, where she, how far she's come and the place that she's at. And, you know, I guess for me, I wish things had been different seasons five and six and on a couple of different levels. And but to see where we ended up now, like, I'm at peace with it, at least for today.
Yeah, I guess what I'd say is, like, we have seen many ways of Carrie and Franny being separated over the last four seasons. This feels head and shoulders better on every single level than all the other ways. Like, it feels better than Carrie, you know, running off to Afghanistan and then to Pakistan, leaving Franny behind, you know, spinning off some lie about how she wishes that she could stay, but she just can't. And, you know, she's being pulled back and it's really out of her control, where Maggie kind of saw right through that. It feels much better than Carrie's life being put at risk and her having to sort of stick Franny on a plane and then we never see her again. It feels way better than whatever the fuck happened in season six that I don't even want to describe. Like, this just feels like there is, like, dignity in this. And that's what made the episode to me be something that I really loved it, even though it was heartbreaking to watch. And, like, the final scene between all three of them, like, was, like, really fucked me up. But I don't know. The acting was just so good. I just felt like it was a payoff. It was a payoff more for me in the Maggie-Carrie relationship. Because that's something that, like, has, I feel like it's much more just complex just because they're two adults and, you know, we've gotten to know them over a much longer period of time. And it felt like closure, I guess, for the Franny stuff. Let's talk really quickly about, like, the Quinn of it all. So, in a very, I think, surprising for a lot of people move, we saw last night Christine Lonas, who was the social worker from last year who was, like, in Dardal's pocket or whatever and basically orchestrated the first CPS drama that we saw. And then, so she testified at Carrie's hearing, seemingly for, like, Maggie and Bill. Like, it wasn't like she was testifying for Carrie, but, you know, she brought up Quinn, and sort of described for the audience in case they forgot, like, what happened last year and all that. And, I think that some people had a, like, problem with the way that Quinn was described. And as I was rewatching it, she said, you know, Mr. Quinn was homeless and he was suffering from, like, severe PTSD, but Carrie, you know, like, invited him into her home, like, clearly out of compassion for him. And I kind of just feel like I wasn't personally offended by the way that was described. Like, Quinn was homeless and he was suffering from severe PTSD. I thought that those were, like, objective, like, those were facts. It's not like she was saying, like,
Carrie was the one describing him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And it's also like, like, it's not like she was like, and then she brought up this, like, stranger from the streets or something like that. It's not like she talked about how he was, like, smoking crack or anything like that. Like, he was homeless. He was without a home. And he was suffering from, you know, very severe PTSD. But sort of beyond that, we got an ask last night. I think it was entirely directed to me, because in season 5, I had a lot of issues with the way that Quinn was framing Carrie's motherhood, specifically in episode 4, which is, like, one of my least favorite episodes of the entire series. But I just had problems because, well, just kind of the nature of him, you know, talking to Carrie, you know, as she was making that video for Franny. All that stuff still exists on the blog. People can go read it if they want. But then last night I was like, Carrie, you know, giving up Franny kind of in the way that she did was, you know, one of the most selfless things that she had ever done. And, you know, the person who sent in the ask said, you know, well, which is it? Like, it's either one thing or the other. And I guess I feel like they're kind of different. And Gail, you were articulating very well before we started to record, like, how mm-hmm. how those things are different, like, how the mm-hmm. how the way that, you know, Quinn you know, left behind his own son is different from the way that Carrie's leaving behind Franny right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're just, I know people want to say that they both did the same thing. I don't agree at all. I think Quinn leaving his son was, in Quinn's mind, I think the choice was, you're either in or you're out. You're either in special ops, black ops, or you're out of that life. Quinn didn't see a path to reconcile those two sides of himself. And maybe rightfully so for his, you know, specific profession and being an assassin and the dangerous aspects of his life, you know, maybe those were the only two options he had. And I think, you know, when in season 4, when he wants to get out, he says to Carrie, like, I need you to get out with me. I need you to, you know, to do this with me so it'll stick, basically. So he sees it in two different ways, but he also is the one who tells Carrie, like, you know, this kid is a gift and don't make the same mistakes I did. So I think, you know, how they're different is that Carrie didn't abandon her child. Quinn did, regardless if that was the right decision or not. He made a choice to completely stay out of his son's life for better or for worse, where Carrie tried to do her best to be Franny's mom for a while there. And, you know, ultimately in this last episode, you see the reconciliation of the both sides of Carrie that she's been, you know, she's lived with, you know, pushing down that calling and ignoring it to try to be a mom to Franny. And you've seen her this season kind of re-embracing that and then being a bad mom to Franny. So I think what Carrie was able to do was to find a place where by relinquishing some of that the control and responsibility to Maggie of parenting Franny, she's able to be who she was born to be. And she's found a happy medium, at least in this episode. We'll see how that bears fruit over the next 12, you know, or 14 episodes. But she was able to, you know, to do both things, something that Quinn was never able to do, nor did he ever attempt to do. So I see them very differently. They're two different sets of circumstances. I'm not judging one or the other. I just think they're very different sets of circumstances. I'd like to believe that wherever Quinn is, he's working on himself and finding that peace and balance. With my Quinspiracy-ness, but I don't know. I see them very differently. I don't think they made the same choices at all.
You know what I also think too is like, I think that Quinn would have been really proud of the decision that she made last night.
100%.
He would have been extremely proud because he got it. You know, he had lived it and he had reflected on the mistakes he made, and he always wanted Carrie to make, you know, better choices than him.
He wanted better for her.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, as he says in season 5, not everyone's fit to be a parent. And I think that was really difficult for Carrie to hear at that point. And that, you know, it's kind of like 2 or 3 seasons later, like she finally is hearing that. Or I guess 2 seasons later, she's finally hearing that. But I give the credit for Carrie making that choice, like, to Carrie.
His influence definitely changed her for the better. I think that's
agreed.
That's easy to say. But I think, like, she puts all of those pieces together in this episode herself.
Agreed. You said it much better than I was going to.
I just, for me, when it comes to Quinn, I feel like he very much romanticized the idea of being a parent. I don't think he actually, he told Carrie not everyone's fit to be a parent. He also told her the kid was a gift. We don't know enough about Quinn's history to make any real judgments here, but.
Well, we know that he grew up for a fair amount of his life without parents of his own. So,
well, we know that he had a shitty childhood.
Yeah, he had.
But, I mean, that's kind of about it. We don't know, like, what his relationship was to John Jr.
But that might be, though, like, why he romanticized. Because I think you're right. I think he did kind of romanticize parenting. You know, he never got to, like, he didn't.
The point is, interruptee.
Sorry.
The point is that Quinn had no fucking clue what it took. Mm-hmm. So he was telling Carrie, you know, that kid's a gift. Like, I would hate to see you fuck it up the way I did. We don't actually know if he fucked it up or if he just left. We don't know if he ever even tried. So the idea that Carrie is, you know, Carrie is to be applauded for the decision she's made because she gave a real, real shot at it. She tried really hard. She fucked up very badly, but I think that if Quinn could see her, and I'm sure he does, he's like, all right, you know what? I fucked this one up. Like, I was wrong. He was wrong. He didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's heavy. It's just like, I know we said this last episode, it's all just so much. It's a lot. Yeah. It is a lot in every way. Like, it's, you know, this has been a very emotional and drawn out storyline. And I just, I hit a metaphorical wall with Carrie last episode. And for me, not that all sins are forgiven or anything like that in this episode, but definitely I feel like for all the complaining and, you know, annoyance or bitching or whatever that I personally did about the storyline over the last three seasons, I feel I'm going to take that closure. I'm going to take it. And I'm going to look back at the storyline with Carrie, and it's part of her journey now. And I don't think she's definitely not going to be the person she is without having gone through that. And the benefit of Quinn and his influence, I think, helped shape her into this person who could make the selfless choice for both Franny and the country. Like, Carrie is someone who's willing to die to protect people. And she is, you know, there is something heroic in that. And Maggie's words are so resonant. And I think the way Maggie finally sees her is the way Quinn always saw her. And I think that there's something beautiful in that.
Well, what's interesting too is Maggie totally romanticizes it. Like, she is totally, and, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking, like, probably a big part of the reason why I liked this episode so much was that speech that Maggie gave to Carrie, which is like, the words that she's using to describe her totally feed into the way that I always want to see her. Like, I always want to believe that Carrie is a hero, and I always want to believe that she is extraordinary and brave and fearless and will do whatever it takes. And like, that is, like, you are playing right into, like, the Sarah playbook there. So it was very, like, it was a speech that was in many ways sort of, like, designed to get me to be like, yes, this is amazing. But Maggie does romanticize all that, you know, and it's interesting that at the same time that they're all talking about why Carrie is unfit to care for this child, that Maggie's also like, here are all the things that are amazing about you that I wish that I could be as well. Like, I love that they just allow Carrie to exist in this space, which is so messy and so, like, there's such a gray area about it, and it's complicated and difficult and hard. And I like that they kind of just allow all those things to exist at the same time. It's not so black and white as Carrie is a bad mother, or she's a good mother, or she's a hero, or she's not. Like they're kind of all intermingling at the same time. And she's not Superwoman, you know, because she couldn't do both things. Like, that was her limitation a little bit, is that she couldn't exist in both spaces at once, and she has to make the choice of which part of herself she needs to give it up for. And, you know, all things considered, like, I felt like this was kind of possibly the best possible outcome we could have hoped for in terms of what makes for a good TV show.
Yeah. Agreed.
Any other last minute points about the sort of Carrie, Maggie, Franny, and Quinn of it all?
No, thank you.
Ashley, you just sound totally done with this entire episode and this podcast. Is that correct? Is that an accurate statement?
A little bit. Well, let's keep going.
Okay. Well, the next kind of thing I want to talk about, and I mean, the two, like, major storylines this episode was the Carrie stuff, and then also the Keen stuff. So, what I really appreciated about this episode, so like I said at the beginning, I just find Keen to be like such a delicious disaster that I'm so amused when I watch her, because it's like, she can just never do anything right. Like, by golly, like, she's a mess. But what I liked and appreciated about this episode from kind of a meta perspective is Carrie and Keen, I think, are really similar. They're both extremely stubborn, extremely driven and ambitious. You know, they I think, have a very sort of singular, you know, idea in their mind of what the right thing to do is, and they'll kind of do whatever it takes to get that. So they're ruthless too. But they're both faced with probably the most important decisions of their life. So Carrie has to decide what she's going to do about Franny. Is she going to fight, you know, or is she just going to kind of end it, you know, kind of before it can even start? And Keen, you know, has to decide whether or not she's going to fire half of her cabinet, or whether or not she's going to trust Beau Bridges and kind of let them be, you know, under the assumption that he won't then invoke the 25th Amendment and push her out of office. And Carrie makes the right choice. I think we can all agree that Carrie objectively makes the right decision. And Keen sort of feeds into her worst paranoid instincts. And I thought it was interesting kind of how they completely diverged in that way. I just thought that was really interesting. They're both faced with these extremely monumental choices, and Carrie makes, like, the stakes could not be higher for her, and she makes the right choice. And then for Keen, again, the stakes could not be higher, and she just ignores the advice of literally everyone around her because she's so fucking paranoid, and she doesn't trust anybody. Like, she doesn't even trust Wellington. Like, she has nobody. Like, she's, this woman is an island. And I just thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I think with I don't share the same view of Keen and Carrie in similarities. I think this episode definitely showed that both of these women were at crossroads in their lives. Both were given the opportunity to make a selfish choice or make a selfless choice. Mm-hmm. And they both chose differently. And I think the context behind them differentiates them to me. But I thought Beau Bridges in this episode, you know, it was so great. And I think for part of that was his delivery of the famous line by Jacques Maritain, where he says, power without authority is tyranny. And I thought that was really telling because, like, you can, like, for Keen, like, she is what Saul called her in, I think it was episode one. She is a woman who cannot rise above her own vindictiveness. She can't. She was not able to ever get past that. She was someone, and she framed it herself this episode, who survived a brutal election, fought tooth and nail to get where she was, survived a assassination attempt, and is now, like, has such a grip on the White House that her knuckles are white, and she can't see past her own selfish desires to stay there. And
yeah, you know, but the same time, like, she's been targeted. Like, I kind of don't fault her for being like, I'm not fucking leaving. Like, I am where I am right now because I fucking worked really, really hard. And, like, I'm not going to give it up because this, like, I kind of feel like, I mean, I agree with her. I don't think that she should just, you know, let them push her out of the office because Senator Paley is, like, I mean, like, Paley's wrong, too. Like, he thinks that Keen, you know, had Dante killed. Like, I guess I'm just kind of like, well.
Well, let's take your argument and put it in context because her and Carrie's storylines are parallel. So Senator Paley and Maggie are your two parallels. The presidency and Franny are your two parallels. And the argument you're making is, like, it could fit either scenario. Like,
well,
you
know, no,
Carrie is her mother. Carrie has worked very hard just to keep control of Franny. And I'm just saying, like, that's what this episode is framed about. That's the parallels they're drawing is, you know, are you going to do what's best for your kid? Are you going to do what's best for that office you're sitting in? Or are you going to do what's best for you in your mind? And so it's not necessarily a matter of, you know, like, do I understand where Keen's coming from? Absolutely. But what Beau Bridges says to her, and I refuse to call him the vice president because he's Beau Bridges, right. And he's got beautiful blue eyes, and I'm like captivated.
He has
by
also
them.
A very interesting mouth. I like couldn't take yes. my eyes off of his mouth.
Yes. So he's got another great line in it where he's telling Keen is like, you know, basically he's bucked what she assumed of him. Like, she assumed that he would just turn on her because that's what people do. And, you know, she's like perpetual victim here. And he's like, no, I took my time. I thought about it. I came to my own decision without you pushing me or, you know, browbeating me into it. And he's just like, Madam President, like, are you going to defend this country? Or are you going to basically succumb to your own selfish desires? And
then he has the great line too about, like, he's like, not everything has to be a
snake pit.
That's interesting in terms of how she sees the world. It's always like, but I mean, that's why she's a politician. She had that speech at the beginning where she said, like, my ex-husband, like, is an anthropologist, and he was like describing politicians as like gorillas or something that like beat each other over the head with clubs or something. That was just like really interesting. That was I think gave a lot of insight into kind of how she sees, you know, politics. But I guess so I don't, I understand what you're saying about like the Carrie Keen stories are extremely paralleled, and, you know, Franny is akin to the presidency, etc. But I don't know. I guess I just feel like I see both sides. I don't know. I guess I see both sides. I understand why Keen's like, I'm not going anywhere. And I also, I understand, like, it's weird because there's Paley and then there's Keen on opposite sides, and then there's Beau Bridges in the middle. And he's not like on either side, really. Like, he's not trying to impeach her. He's not trying to invoke the 25th Amendment or anything like that. He's just really trying to reason with her. So I guess I see his position more than Paley. Like, Paley is like, fuck that guy. He's so annoying to me right now. Like, I don't understand. He's just like so resistant to facts. And he too cannot seem to rise above his own vindictiveness either. Like, he's totally trying to play this for the political value of it, which we saw last week, you know, as he was telling, Janet, you know, like, we have to get out in front of this and all this sort of stuff. Like that's just how their minds work. So he's trying to think, okay, well, how can I like play this off so it's not going to like end my political career? He doesn't seem as interested, I suppose, in the, you know, stability of the country, does he?
Well, first of all, we have to, anytime we talk about Janet, we have to call her fucking Janet.
Fucking
because
Janet.
That's what the actress Ellen even hashtags it. When she, like, when she's tweeting and stuff, she's just like, fucking Janet. Like, and I love her for that. Ellen Adair, right? Is that her name?
I think so, yeah.
So hashtag fucking Janet. But yeah, I mean, last episode you kind of saw where like Paley is mortified that he's a useful idiot, like mortified. So you can bet your ass that he will try to do anything he can to change that narrative. And I mean, I think we're going to see that moving forward. I think it's dangerous that he's been read in on this, because I think he very much you know, if him and the Russian, like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? So I almost feel like the door is
open
for him.
Well, that kind of seems like what's going to happen next week a little bit.
Colluding by, you know, colluding in parallel. But yeah, I mean, he's a total asshole. But like, in one of the, I've knocked Homeland for a long time about this race for prescience, and trying to, you know, write themselves into a topical narrative so they can get praise for it in this news cycle. And it never felt authentic to me, like, not, especially not last season. It never connected with me the way that they wanted it to, and they were trying to tout it. this season it has. And in one of the ways that it hit me this last episode was when you've got Saul and Carrie trying to, they've been working on this, you know, intelligence gathering piece, and they're trying to put a stop to, you know, this Russia and this interference and trying to bring closure to that. And it's like Washington won't let them because mm-hmm. that narrative doesn't fit their political narratives. And I just thought that that's a really interesting thing that's kind of taking shape here with the Paley, Wellington, Keene of it all, is that that's exactly what's happening in our country too. The narrative of Russia influencing our elections is not something our White House has ever agreed to or accepted publicly. Trump still doesn't agree with the 17 intelligence agency reports to that narrative. So it's very timely and topical, especially when, you know, last night was the interview with James Comey, and it's, I don't know, it's just, it's really hitting the marks this year in a scary, scary way. And the idea that Paley can continue to do damage and work in parallel, you know, collusion next episode moving forward against the government to unseat Keene to suit his interests is, it's fucking scary.
Yeah, I agree. The sort of plot that they've done and how it's related to current events has been much more resonant this year for me than it was in season 5 or season 6. I think partly because it's a lot more cohesive. Like, there's just kind of like one thing that they're doing, and it's just like Russia storyline. Whereas last year it was like sock puppets and like terrorism at home and how that's fake and how like law enforcement is targeting Muslims and the president and transitions and like all, like, it was just like, oh my god, there's so much. And then and two, like, none of it fucking worked. And then in season 5, which I literally just feel like they were like throwing shit against the wall, they were like Snowden and then like Europe and refugee crisis, and it just like didn't make any sense at all to me. Whereas this season it's like they just chose like one thing. And I also don't think you can really overstate the fact that this is the first season that's been written entirely in a post 2016 election world. And like it or not, every person, especially, you know, every American, like that, like everything just shifted after that. Like the way that we absorb and kind of take in media now, whether it's news or whether it's, you know, like film or TV, is just different. And everything, I think, always feels a lot more like it just feels more urgent. So when they're telling a story now about Russian interference, it's not even something that we have to suspend our disbelief that much to even understand, because it literally happened. And so I think that makes the storyline feel a lot fresh, and it feels less like they're trying to chase headlines and more just trying to like reflect on actual shit that has occurred. So I agree, it's been much more resonant to me. It feels much more sort of compelling, and I feel sort of more engaged with it on that level.
I think too that season 5 was kind of accidentally prescient at points, and I believe, based on what I was reading, I didn't watch seasons 1 through 4 in real time, but season 5 really seemed to get a lot of praise for how on top of things they were, how they were like sliding in right before the news happened. And I think, to me, it felt, especially in season 6, that had really gotten to the writers' heads.
It seemed like the reason that they were writing it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it stopped being about telling a good TV show and sort of just started being about the ego of being able to predict shit in advance. And that's genuinely how I felt, and it was definitely backed up by the fact that after the 2016 election, Alex Gonza said, oh my God, we're not relevant anymore. Like, what the shit does that even matter? So I think for this particular season, I think that for season 7, it's as much about the fact that they are focusing on one thing at a time, like one spy plot and one, like, at-home plot. But I think it's also the fact that this is the first time in a really long time that we've had a really good idea of where things are going. And they're going badly. Like, nothing is going to get better anytime soon. But I think that it's easier for them to make a story out of that. And to capitalize on all of the fear and the rage and the hatred, like, knowing, like you said, this is the first post-2016 election season they've written. And they know how it impacts people. Also, I hate this show.
Let's wrap it up really quick. Let's play another game that we played early on in the season. I think after episode 3, or maybe episode, I think it's after episode 3.
Is it the Spice Girl one?
No, that is not the Spice Girl one. It's just going to be one word to describe what you think next week is going to be like.
I'm going to go with fucked. That's my word. It's going to be fucked. Everyone's getting fucked in a very bad way. Fucked.
Well, that's one way to put it.
How many synonyms can we come up with for the word fucked? I don't know. My word for next week, and actually next week is, I'm going to be on a trip next week, and so I won't be able to watch it live. And I think that first episode that I've, like, ever not watched live since I started to watch. So in, like, 6 years, which is kind of sad, but my word for next week is yikes.
I don't know if there are words for next week. I'm afraid. I don't know what's coming next.
Did you watch the preview? Did you watch the preview for the episode?
Yeah, and it looks like Bananagrams 24 style.
Bananas, that should be your word.
No, Bananagrams, Gail.
Oh, Bananagrams.
What does that mean? Wait, what does that mean? Bananagrams?
I don't know.
Oh, it's just like a word for bananas.
Yeah, okay. It's also a game that I happen to be really good at.
Okay.
It's kind of like Scrabble.
Oh, God. I will never play Scrabble with you. I'll never play any, like, word-associated game with you, ever.
You're missing out.
No, I'm not missing out on anything. I know exactly how it would go.
How would it go?
It would go where I would feel really fucking stupid by the end of it, because you, like... I can't even spell the word parade, Ashley. Like,
I know! You couldn't... She spelled it with an I.
I spelled it, like, pirate.
You did.
I was trying to, like, we were on GChat, and if you type in the word pony parade or pony stream or something like that, like, these...
My Little Ponies.
Yeah, like, the My Little Ponies go across the bottom of the screen, and I was just trying to do it, and I was like, pony parade, pony parades. And I was like, why isn't it working? And you're like, well, first of all, you need to spell the word parade correctly. And second of all, it's not even pony parade. It's like
pony stream.
Pony stream. Pony stream. Anyways, I felt like such an idiot after that. So that's why I'm never going to play Scrabble or Bananagrams or, like, I don't know what other word games there are with you. I'm never going to play, like, Scattergories with you or a spelling bee. Like, no.
Oh, my God. I'm so good at spelling bees.
Before we go, can I – last week I gave a shout-out to Sandy. Can I give one again? Because she continues to be one of my favorite new characters this season, and I hope she stays on. When Saul goes to see her and she talks about, like, it's a love story. Like,
another Taylor Swift reference. Another Taylor Swift reference, died. By the way. That is the single best theory that I've ever come up with about the show, is that Reputation is about Carrie Mathison. It just fits.
Yeah.
Just fits.
It's hard to argue right now.
It is extremely hard to argue. It's the truth.
I know that I wasn't on the last podcast, but I just wanted to bring something up because somebody had said that they wanted me to make this like a feature of my podcast, but I was just thinking how really sad it is that like the last time that Dante ever got to have sex, he didn't even get off. And then he just died. And now she has to figure out how to tell his parents.
Your son never ejaculated again.
Like,
Ultimate blue balls.
Yeah.
Blue balls in perpetuity.
Yeah. Yes.
Blue balls forever. Until eternity.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make that point because poor Dante, you know, it's like, it's just such a bummer. Like, what a way to go.
Like, it would have been, okay, no, it would have been, like, if we're talking about Carrie having, like, the, what do you call it? Like, the death vagina, or what's the word?
Toxic vagina. Got the black widow vagina.
The what?
The death trap.
Toxic vagina.
She's... or being the Black Widow.
Yeah.
It would have been even worse if he had actually, like, if that congenital heart defect had reared its way while they were having sex and he just, like, died in the middle of it. Then she really has the toxic vagina, which I actually think...
He didn't really have a heart defect, though. That's just what the coroner told the parents.
Oh, I thought that... The coroner found that, and so it was just their reasoning and excuse. Are you sure? That's not how I
watch that back. Watch that back, yeah.
That's not how I interpreted it.
Yes, that's how they covered it all up. They didn't reveal. They didn't tell his parents. Yeah.
Then he got murdered by Russians.
Well, I know that they were going to tell him that. I thought that just, like, the coroner happened to find a congenital heart defect, and they were like, perfect, let's say it was this.
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right, so they just completely lied about that. All right, mm-hmm. but, like, there was a season of American Horror Story. I think it was the witch one where one of the characters actually did have, like, a killer vagina. And she, like, killed men by having sex with them. And I only watched, like, one episode.
That's the plot of Adam's Family Values, but it isn't. She just kills them.
I only watched, like, one episode of that season of American Horror Story, but that's what I remember. She just, like, was, like, riding this guy, and then he died.
That is how Rose Nyland's husband died on Golden Girls.
Oh, that's true.
I know.
Yeah. I love Golden Girls. I watched that this weekend.
Sarah only just watched it for the first time in October.
So we know the Blue Hand Group is coming back next episode with the previews. Let's all think about which Golden Girls each of the people in that group would be and have our answer for the next podcast.
Okay, well, my answers are going to be extremely superficial, just as an FYI.
All right, so pod listeners, why don't you, if you have your theories, send them in to us too, because maybe some of the good ones will get shouted out.
All right. Perhaps.
For being a